Welcome to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast, featuring advice and interviews about athlete branding. Learn how marketing, public relations, and broadcasting can grow your brand. We also have special episodes to talk about recent news, events, and anything in the world of sports. The podcast is sponsored by Pliable, a versatile marketing, PR, and broadcasting company that identifies opportunities and creates tailored content for its clients. Now it's time to roll. Here's your host, Greg Glenn.
Thank you very much and welcome inside the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast for another great episode. Glad you're with us here today. I want to welcome in our guest who's going to be on this episode. It's Dr. Lashbrook, and we'll talk about his bio in a minute. But in this episode, we're going to talk about athlete opportunities. And that can mean everything from being a sports agent to continuing on and playing in the NFL. And there's a lot to talk about when we unpack this. So again, I want to welcome in our guest today is Dr. Lynn Lashbrook. He is an American sports agent and educator. He is also currently an NFL certified contract advisor who has represented over 150 NFL football players throughout his career, including Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Matt Moore. And he is also a former college athletic director and sports agent. So he provides a really unique perspective for everything that we've been talking about related to athlete branding. So with that being said, Dr. Lashbrook, welcome inside the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast.
Thanks, Greg. That bio kind of makes you look old, makes me look old, but you know what? I'm 73 and I'm like a bottle of wine. I like where I'm at today. And I think I want to welcome everybody. It's a 2.0 revolution in sports. Greg, I'll back up. You can interrupt anytime. I'll give a short version. Growing up in Kansas City and passionate about baseball. And then of course the Kansas City Chiefs and walked on. I didn't have an opportunity, but my senior year in high school, smallest guy, but I ended up walking on and getting a scholarship after the first game. I'm very blessed and graduating 4 years. And back in 1970, it was only phys ed and there was no, it was all amateur athletics, if I may. So I went to Springfield College in Massachusetts, got my master's, but I also saw the global networking of what Springfield had done and what the birthplace of basketball had spread. And I probably was very intrigued by that, even though it was physical education and health. And then I decided if I could get that doctorate, I could get hired back at my alma mater. So I set out a 3-year plan. And so the next plan was to volunteer coach and teach in the daytime substitute and take night classes. There's no internet. And so I, 2 years later, I had a doctorate completed in kinesiology in Northern Colorado. And just driving through, happened to be one of the professors left for a semester, supposedly to get his doctorate completed. And they asked me to come in and teach physiology, kinesiology, adaptive P, elements L, track, which I never ran, coaching track. And I wanted in football and golf, of course. I never played golf, but it was crazy. And it was only a temporary, but that person didn't come back. I ended up staying, finished my doctorate and was a tenured professor. So leaving to go to college athletics, which was Missouri academic advisor compliance in those days, I really was in the, I drank the Kool-Aid of student athlete concept and graduation rate. And I loved it, grew up in it, benefited from it. And so I stayed on that concept. And then I moved over to be an athletic director at Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville, 3 years, commuter campus, but we still had fun. But I wanted a bigger, better. And I went to University of Alaska in Fairbanks. And ironically, that was when the wall went down in Germany and we started an exchange in Russia. And and had some very fine exchange with student athletes. And we had a great 5 years up there. That's 20 years, but I wanted to watch my son play high school ball. And I turned down the Western Michigan job, went to my friend Jim Steiner, happened to be Jerry Rice's agent, talked him into letting me be an agent. And I hit the ground with relationships, which is 90% of the business. And fast forward, I moved out, start my life over in Portland, Oregon. Started teaching at Oregon State. The Jerry Maguire movie came out and the internet was really exploding as well as Blackboard and online education. And I fell in love with the potential you could educate the world through an internet. And that's really the course that we started with is athlete management. And now we have 35 courses, over 30,000 alums from 163 different countries. I'm very proud of that. But saying all that, the Supreme Court ruling, which is one of the reasons our audience is here, the name, image, and likeness. I saw it coming as an agent, but I also saw my nervousness about it, like everybody else. But once the Supreme Court came out with the unanimous ruling, it's a new world. It's 2.0 revolution. And in layman's terms, what it means is every athlete and family starting in high school can get advice. And NIL is part of the life, whether it's swimming, whether it's cheerleading, whether it's football, every individual is a star back in their high school and family. So starting with that, the rules have just changed where the opportunity for almost anybody, I compare it to Uber. You pick up a client, you pick up a passenger, that's a client. You pick up the second passenger, that's two clients. Before you know it, some people make it a full-time job. And our goal with our online course is teach the nuances and the ongoing Zoom chat and mentor. But the business is 90% relationship. So the branding starts with a relationship. Yeah. I don't think it's rocket science. I think it's a new wild, wild west. I'll let you go from there. But that was the fast forward of a unique background, accepting the changing tea leaves of the world and embracing it. And let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love what you've done with sports management worldwide. Obviously, in 1993, like you said, joining with Jim Steiner, I thought that was really interesting that you obviously had worked with him in the sports management group. And then you started, obviously, kind of your own, which became sports management worldwide. And now you've grown this so much. So quickly, as you say, you know, you become an entrepreneur. Talk about all of the opportunities you've been able to develop, because I think a lot of people might think of it as the traditional way that you're, you know, working to help people become an agent. Yeah. That's what it was originally. But how fast and what else have you done that you're really proud of?
Well, I'm most proud of the 8-week concept. Our price points are extremely affordable. Number one, we're very universal. Sports is universal. So our audience, our live Zoom chats on every one of our courses, as well as my Sunday chat, which is a lifetime membership, the larger the audience and the more diverse the audience, the better the class. And until online came on, we really didn't have that accountability interaction. What happened through the evolvement of the program, we added other courses, sales and marketing. We went to baseball analytics, sabermetrics back then. And if it works in baseball, what about football? What about basketball? All the way up to every sport. What's happened is all of our instructors don't necessarily have a doctorate in kinesiology. And my point being is that education has challenges moving forward when it comes to sport business. There's over 400 sports management programs, very good programs, some very expensive, taught by most that don't have any practical experience, but they're still qualified by the term educator. At the same time, we kind of threw it back and said, we're going to do live Zoom chats with mentors. You get to talk to the Harry Sindons and John Wootens or whomever. You get to talk to Mark Eisenberg. So we're incredibly resourceful. We have an agent advisor program to give you the card and the credentials to start your business as an incubator. We want to change the world, and we want the student from Nigeria, the NIL, and the advisor to be maybe from Nigeria, where they might know the culture better. Yep. And then the other piece, besides our informational interviews that are giving you a chance, anybody a chance to expand their Rolodex through our Rolodex. And that's kind of where I think. And then the other, probably the outcome that I'm most proud of, that we don't market in a sense, because we don't need to. It is what it is. Access to opportunity democratizes diversity. And I think we're the most diversified sports company in the world until proven wrong. Mm. That means race, gender, culture, geography. We're there. And we're going to be, and we're going to keep winning that battle. And our alums come back and take more than one course. We keep adding courses as the tea leaves change. And you're a good example of NIL. I'm very still proud of what you're doing, but we have so many great stories. And we're here to mentor and partner. We're not here to own, tie you up, and see how many more courses we can sell. It's a really exciting, it's a very exciting company. And I love doing these Zoom chats because I think the story still needs to be told.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you bring up Neil a lot. Obviously, I am enrolled in the name, image, and likeness course. Really excited about the opportunity for, as you said, you know, this is now going to start, you know, much earlier for these student athletes to get in the game. Obviously, April 6th was National Student Athlete Day. That was also the same day that we launched Kalen Bork's brand at kalenbork.com. And there's going to be a lot more athletes that are going to have this opportunity. I see it a lot right now with athletes where I'll reach out and I'll start the conversation. They've either done something online, maybe they've done a video, maybe they're selling, you know, t-shirts, which they now have an opportunity to do. But what do you think that these athletes should be thinking about, you know, related to Neil before they, you know, start to just dive head first?
So backing up, being a good citizen and understanding you can market your performance off the field throws another responsibility. I think it's going to make a student athlete more mature more quickly and learning business. So as I worry about, quote, the student athlete, I actually call them athlete student, and I don't mean that derogatory. I just think there's a new emphasis. We're pretty hypocritical on eligibility and finding the friendly courses to go with that. And all my colleagues would somewhat agree with that. So now we're focused on, I'm here. I can't play forever. I can grow a business and rely. Many people will always be a star in their hometown. I think the number one story I have is my Kansas Jayhawks upset Texas. And the last play of the game, a viral on the fourth overtime, a player that's never played went in and caught the 2-point conversion to win the game. Biggest upset in 100 years. 3 days later, Applebee had him on a commercial. And that's an example. It can happen. It can happen in your story with the cheerleader. Same idea. It's spontaneous. The most important thing to remember is corporate America, just like the taxis, couldn't keep up with the requests. And that's why Uber is so powerful. We think sports management worldwide's footprint and opportunity. Every individual, what you have over everybody else in the world is your location and your story. Starting with that, that is not a real qualifier. And if you learn the nuances through us and we mentor you, that's how you become a business person. Whether you quit your day job, we're not asking you to quit your day job. We're not guaranteeing anything but an opportunity. And that's kind of the business model. That's the revolution, I think. I think we're kind of the Uber of higher ed. I think we're the Uber of the sports world. I may be wrong, but we're only as good as the people in the room. And you're a great example of you and colleagues in there that you are also inspired by. And so we feed off each other. And we at Sports Management Worldwide, with our remarkable staff and our 50 faculty all over the world, we're just one piece of it. The whole mechanism and opportunity to come into this club, if I may forever, is pretty exciting. So I think people have an opportunity to monetize their passion.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that I think about when I think about your story and how you've created a platform where people can have mentors, who was a mentor or some of your mentors as you were going through this process of developing the company, or even as you were, you know, back in your playing days or as an AD, you know, who was kind of guiding you along the way?
No, it's a great story. And I've got a book coming out, The Walk-On. It's not finished yet. We're working very hard on it. And I've thought about that. You know, I used to go back. My mom took me to games as a young boy and my dad. So I got the influence of sports. I thought I had a great high school experience. In college, I think the coach that took a chance on me because I caught a fumble, and he became my colleague and mentor. My Fort Hays experience in general was a first mentor I'd mentioned besides my family. And then I would have to say, so fortunate at University of Missouri, a retired lady now, but it was a lady way ahead of her time, was my a supervisor at Missouri. And that was a big time program. And I think Jean Serra, a very successful. But she taught me the professionalism. You can still go big time athletics and be ethical. I always had the ethical compass, but right, you get strained a little bit when you get into that big time. It's a big world. It's a big business, not 4 days. So I think that I will always appreciate in the agent side, Jim Steiner, a very successful agent. He had Jerry Rice. But Jim allowed me in. Most agents weren't letting anybody in. And he gave me a chance, was a great mentor, did it ethically, did it with his own personality. He didn't try to be something he's not. And those are mentors. And then being blessed in my wife for almost 25 years to have her step out, go on a sabbatical to put a business model together. I just thought you put an ad on the ESPN and it'll all work out. But we really had to grow. And it's the most thrilling and humble experience of being the owner of a business that's still growing, if I may.
Yeah. And you must be certainly, there's got to be a special part of you to do it with your wife. I mean, that there's a special bond there, and that's not easy for some people to do.
No, and we talk about it. I say we don't want to talk business at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
I will also say to you, in the sports world, and I've actually met all three of these people that I think had a huge influence on my entrepreneurial mentorship. Of course, Phil Knight, who I met, and you know, founder of Nike. I think his story is unbelievable, and I have so much admiration for him. He revolutionized the sports world. I grew up with a man who came to Kansas City, Lamar Hunt, and later became the name of the Super Bowl and the founder of the American Football League. And I met him before. And when his son was playing soccer at SMU, and I was at SIUA, and the reason I say that, his son now owns the Chiefs, and having Matt Moore there, and he got a chance to meet Clark. And then thirdly, a man who I've met before, but I admired, Howard Schultz, who's going back to work now at Starbucks. We actually live in his up in his area this year with my daughter. But to be honest with you, what he did with Starbucks, I think, gave me the courage that, you know, I can put coffee shops, which are sports students all over the world, and we can pour the Kool-Aid every day, if I can use a metaphor. So I think those three mentors in the business side had, and I love what Steve Jobs did. I just believe that online is a revolution. The pushback is, we grew up comfortable. You had to come to class and we'll sit at the podium and you better pass the tests. And it just, I think education has some challenges, and I want education to be fun. Yep. I've spent too much time in the hallway.
Yeah. I can see you in the hallway. Absolutely. The other thing too is, you know, I think that's a perfect lead in to the value that I really see in being part of the club at Sports Management Worldwide. And these Sunday chats are phenomenal. I just love the format. It feels like a radio show where we're all talking about the same language. We all have our own passions. We're meeting people. We're online. People are following up with each other. It's like this amazing, it's almost like a fishbowl. You just put everybody in and you kind of see what comes out. It's a fantastic idea.
What happened to me when I was teaching in the classroom, when I was at Oregon State, I really had 20 some years experience. I was a resource. I saw the world changing. I saw the class of 70. You got to entertain them or do something different. And I also never understood passive learning, particularly with the internet. Kids were playing with their cell phone. If you don't keep them involved. And so simply I turned to what I call e-Socratic method of learning. And what I know for sure is I know nothing. And so when you brag or talk about the experience in these chats, I go back to the experience that I received. I started with one on CompuServe dial-up, the dial-up Yahoo, and then we had two. And it was a tough beginning. And now post-COVID, no less than 20, sometimes 30, sometimes 40. The reason, you're absolutely right, the vastness of the audience and the vast of diversity of sport, the commonality is it's sports and it's business. And business has the same common principles throughout, no matter what sport, marketing, stadium, social media, everything. And so I learned so much from each question. I've watched analytics in baseball talk to analytics in football. I watched baseball analytics meet with motorsport analytics. It's fascinating, the cross-pollination. And before I go back to you, I call it Silopia. For years, centuries, sports has been run by I call it Silopia. It's people in the business. It's the coach. It was the player, the coach, general manager then, and we didn't have a lot of diversity. We also didn't have the business background. We're focused on winning. And now you look at what's going on in the business side of sports and the value of franchise and sports betting and esports, cryptocurrency. It's a revolution, a most exciting time. And I'm glad I've lived long enough to be part of it. And I think we're going to become a catalyst of change and spread the word around the world. There's 8 billion people out there.
Yeah. I love what you're saying about being kind of an active listener, and everybody learns differently. And I embrace the fact that when I do presentations at high schools and colleges across the country about athlete branding, I say, take out your phone. I say, get on your phone right now. You want to take pictures? You want to tweet about what I'm saying? Go for it, because I know you're going to be more engaged than if you're sitting here and wondering what's going on with that cell phone in your pocket and if you should be paying attention to it, because I want my presentation to be much more entertaining than whatever else you got going on today.
It's so true. And I remember thinking, what would I would have done in high school if I had a phone? I would have been on it the whole time. So why would I tell them at first when the cell phone came to the classroom? I said, put it down. You know, you thought you're, and then you realize, and I remember an old buddy of mine said, we need to take the cell phones away when they come to the conference. I said, no, what? That's that, you can't win that. And so like you, I've embraced it. But back to the Zoom chats, they're thrilling. The quality of questions. And if I don't listen to their questions, I can't grow. And obviously we can't grow. We have to know what's on their mind. And we try to keep it above sports, who's going to win. That's why we have the chat room. I take pride in the fact you can write notes in my class. I take pride in the fact you can drink a beer in my class. Yep. Of course, now we say no mask, bring a flask. But the point is, we're not having fun. We have a bottle of wine, glass of wine when we're reading a book, why, or watching a movie. Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't education be as exciting as going? That's why we call our classroom e-arena. And it's no accident. I thought long and hard. I don't want this to be Blackboard or WebCT. I want it to be something exciting. And I think you would agree, people come with an attitude and they're having fun while they do it.
They are. It's a great atmosphere. You've created a great e-arena there, and I love it. So I also wanted to talk about the pandemic, because, of course, we talk about, 2.0. We talk about the way this world has changed. We talk about the way that sports has changed. I'd love to get your thoughts. When you look at the pandemic, can you think of one of the maybe probably many ways that you as a company or you personally adapted, and as I like to say, maybe became more pliable in the way you do business?
Well, no pun intended with the sponsored company there with you. But I will say this. It's a very good word. I think COVID hit like everybody, and remote working was the first step. And now we still have our office, and we have a couple superstars that come in every day. We do ship books every day, and there's things that need to be. And I go into the office, but the rest are around the world. We're not coming back. We have nice Zoom chats. We have a great staff. Thank goodness. I think we had a chance to get to know each other. I won't argue that. The other thing I noticed is that Zoom allowed us to keep going. So education converted to 98% Zoom. And those are summer traditions are trying to go back. I think it's here to stay, like Uber. You're not going to drop Uber and go back to the taxi. It's just not going to happen. So saying all that, we benefited. We had more students, more college students than ever before enroll in our courses because, well, if it's online, they might as well take an online course from us. So that was a major breakthrough, and that's sustainable. Even though we're putting the mask down and going back, I'm not threatened by that. Our price point allowed us to keep going. And I think we're much better. I will say this, that COVID, thank God we had sports. Thank God we had those empty stadiums. We had something. And to be honest with you, if you look at the tragedy in Ukraine and you look at the empowerment, I've always said sports is a weapon of mass construction. And by that, I've always meant it's a powerful tool. And we're using it right now in part of the boycott and sanctions. And we're not even allowing the Russian people to participate in the Boston Marathon. Yep. It's not their fault, but it's ways for 90% of the world trying to say, look, this is not tolerable. Sports is playing a part in that I think sports is so important to the world, not only raising a family, what Title IX has done for the women, the diversity issue, we're right there in the middle of it and helping it. It's a tough time. And I think sports is really a savior. It's a synonymous to peace. And I think we're blessed in the business of sports. And what an exciting time adding sports betting. You can't ignore it. It's here to stay. And this is a revolution of opportunity. It's a it's a sport business, a $1 trillion business, and it'll be $2 trillion in my lifetime.
Yeah, it's incredible. I feel so blessed to be a part of it in this moment and in this time period because, you know, Title IX, I'm glad you brought that up. Obviously, this year being the 50th anniversary, we're going to be rewriting history books, especially I strongly believe I have Mission E50, which is to increase the popularity of women's sports. And I strongly believe that name, image, and likeness is going to be the next big thing that changes the popularity of women's sports, because these athletes are now going to have a platform to share their experiences and make themselves more marketable. And I think you'd agree with me, people and corporations and businesses are already starting to notice.
Everybody's trying to figure it out, Adidas included, and it's still finding its way home, not home, but it's an exciting dynamic time. You must add the 8 billion people around the world. You must add that the NFL is going to Europe and other places and the NBA in Africa. So the revolution is not just the traditional marketplaces. I watch every one of my Kansas City Royals games on my phone. It's a different world. It's an exciting world. NIL is sustainable for the athlete that retires, whether they retire after college. The backup quarterback has NIL potential. How they handle their business, their body is their business, is what I've always said. You're the CEO of your body and of your life. And so you're an entrepreneur as an athlete. I don't care if you're Division I, II, or III. Makes a member. Everybody's a star in their family and they're a star in their high school. And so you're absolutely right. This is an exciting time for NIL. And the creative juices coming from the masses is so important. And corporate America can't say we're ahead of the game. We're not. You know, we're kind of an Amazon Uber. We took a vision. We may have been there first. We'll have plenty of competition, but it's nice to build a 25-year foundation. And that gives us a lot of momentum and wind to our backs, if I may.
Absolutely. And I'm really excited to be able to work with athletes and give them this guidance. When I got into this and started my own company with Pliable, I started to realize that all of the skills and tools that I've used over the last 20 years in marketing, PR, and broadcasting are so applicable to all these athletes that might not have yet any idea about the world that's out there. And through my work, I've created this 10-step athlete branding playbook, which gives them a guide to success and gives them the skills and tools so that they don't just jump in and all of a sudden they make a mistake. And I think it's so important that education, this all, as we said, it gets back to education. And I think that we are really together and with the work that you're doing, empowering these athletes to go on and do big things.
Well, thank you for saying that. And I, to be honest with you, the access to asynchronous learning with live learning is a secret sauce. And I always ask people, do you like to get paid for your passion? Some very successful people take courses from us because it works and they can do something part-time. Someday they may want to transition. And that's the beauty of just giving people an introduction to the business world. It used to be if you didn't play the game or your father or mother didn't own a team, you really couldn't work in sports. Or if you weren't a great college athlete, you got a and now we have our master's and we have our undergrad and you know, Fort Hays will be making a big announcement. I'll just share with you that all our courses can be taken for college credit. Wow. Three of our courses can be electives in a master's program. And so we're blessed that we've worked that hard, and particularly my alma mater, being a partner, it brings back a lot of memories and a lot of good foundation. So I think the future for NIL is going to be one of our most popular courses.
Yep, absolutely. So as people learn more about you and they learn all these wonderful things that you're doing, what are some of the ways that people can learn more about sports management worldwide, get in touch with you and all of your wonderful staff?
Well, I think just smww.com. I really believe you come to the website, you navigate. There's even a button. If you just want to chat, I call back every phone call.
You do. I am going to absolutely vouch for you in the fact that you can click a button and get in touch with you. I thought that was absolutely amazing.
Well, I just believe that we're in a revolution. And if I'm going to lead a company, I got to be grounded into the day. And the day is the more people I talk to, new potential students or existing or former students, it makes no difference. It's a way for me to grow and not just be somebody that says, oh, look at me. And so that's the beauty of it. And I think everybody, at least if they're curious, at least study it, look at it, fill out a newsletter thing, just get to know us, but we don't push. Some people take 5 years before they take a course. It's one of the reasons for the book is try to explain who we are. We're not just a website with a web of people. We're something, a bunch of people around the world that are passionate, and that makes it special. And if it wasn't for all the students, we wouldn't really be having, our company wouldn't have grown. So we're growing because of referrals, not because we market the heck out of it.
Yeah. And I think that word passion is so important. It's actually one of the three P's that I talk about when it comes to athlete branding as well, is you've got to have the potential, and you also really have to have the personality, and then you also have to have that passion. And those are the right three things. So I think that's a great point that you make about passion.
No, Greg, I'm just, you're an example of a success story, and we look forward to staying in touch and your contribution. And we might be interested in some of your resources, because we can't grow our courses if we don't get better every time. I also noticed in this revolution of NIL, and there are some limitations to the foreign student for a moment, but the God-given talent, 8 billion people, and the cross-pollination of sports, like football going to India, cricket coming to America, rugby, whatever. If you look at that vast, there's a player in Africa that's 240 pounds, very good athlete, plays some soccer, but probably would be a pretty good offensive lineman, for example. We haven't even got to that point. We're finding out with baseball in Japan and South America and Venezuela, et cetera. So think about the growth as the game grows and the esports grows, that you'll get an esports game for in India, and but then you're playing, then your father buys you a jersey. Next thing you do is you get a basketball, and the next thing is you get a goal. When we grew up, it was you got the ball and glove, played catch. Hey, I want to take you to a game. Then there's television. So I think we're in a revolution there. And I think I call ourselves global. We're a global company, but I think go global or go home is my theme. Because I don't think you can look at your player in the backyard and say they're not capable of being a global. Any athletes don't make the NBA, play in Europe, et cetera. Well, that's what we're seeing right now, is a cross-pollination, which takes 8 billion people. It takes an internet company that has people all over the world. You can't do it from headquarters in America.
Yeah, and absolutely. And you do a great job doing it. So that's going to wrap up this episode of the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Glenn. I want to thank Dr. Lashbrook for your time today. You're an awesome guest, and I really value all the work that you do around the country and around the world globally.
Well, we admire what you're doing and look forward to talking to you again. Thank you so much, Greg.
All right, everybody. I'm Greg Glenn. We're glad you could tune in, and stay pliable, my friends.
Thanks for listening to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes from today's episode and catch up on recent episodes at pliablemarketing.com. We also encourage you to share topics and guest ideas by emailing our production staff at pliablemarketing@gmail.com. We love hearing from our loyal listeners and athletes who want to grow their brand. So jump in and be part of the podcast, because that's how we roll.